Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 180 of Her, the podcast, where you hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her transitions. Yeah, I know you wanted to hear this one. We have a terrific show coming up. Before we begin, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show, because we sit here just waiting to hear from you. Your feedback is platinum, golden, priceless. We love to hear what your thoughts are on each episode. I'll give you a reminder a little later on, too. All right, now it's time for Her.
Her. The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind. Her body. Her life. It's all about her.
You know, life is full of transitions. And boy, some of us are just sort of stumbling through those transitions. Some of us can't even get through them. And it's just really integral to life. And I read a really neat piece the other day, which quoted our expert today, in looking at this whole issue of how do you navigate, adapt, and adjust, and show resilience when it comes to life's transitions. And a lot of these are gender specific too. You know, women go through some pretty funky times, both physically and mentally, as they're going through their transitions. Everything from, gosh, you know, one moment you're pregnant and then you're not, and then you're moving on to a different city and then you're not, and it goes on and on. So today we have Dr. Lisa Orbe Austin as our expert. Now, Dr. Orbe Austin is a licensed psychologist and executive coach with a focus on career advancement, leadership development, and job transitions. She's co-founder of Dynamic Transition Psychological Consulting, a career and executive coaching consultancy, and that's located in New York City, where she works mostly with high potential managers and executives. You want to know something? She's all over the place. She's appeared in outlets such as the New York Times, NBC News, Forbes, Business Insider, and more. What's really important is she has addressed throughout her work the very topics that are so central to us as women. The Her podcast audience wants to hear how best to be able to work through transitions in life. So we brought Dr. Orbe Austin on board. Doctor, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. What are the toughest transitions for women? Seriously.
I mean, in terms of like overall transitions, it's probably some of the major life ones that we all go through. So whether it's transitioning from, you know, someone who's single to motherhood, or whether it's transitioning to a new role, or whether it's transitioning in your relationship, all of those experiences are probably pretty common for most women about the struggles of forming a new identity around those new transitions.
Okay, so let's just take one, for instance, one that you deal with so much, and this is all about career transitions. You know, are there myths associated with this, especially as it relates to women?
I mean, I think there are a ton of myths about career, and especially for women. I mean, I think that some of the most common ones are that there's only one perfect career fit, and if you don't find it at some point, you'll never find it. I think that could be really limiting, especially when you've been in a career for a while and you'd feel like this is not it, then can I ever find it? There are many possible career fits over a lifetime, and I think kind of adjusting to that experience can be really helpful for women. I think also that career paths are linear. When people talk about their career lives, they often talk about them in a very linear fashion. The narratives often look so perfect and linear, but career is not linear. It's it goes all over the place, and it's okay for that to be normal and to be part of the process, is that to feel like it's not going in a straight line. I mean, I think one of my mentors along the way said, career is like an amoeba. Nobody wants to hear that, but it's like an amoeba. And like, nobody really wants to hear that. It's kind of messy. It's all over the place. It's kind of moves from here to there. And it really is a messy process. And there are things to neaten it up, but in general, it's messy.
Okay. And, you know, what's interesting too is that there's some age specificity to this. Do you deal with people, male or female, who are transitioning as they get older? Say, for instance, you know, I have a bias. I'm just going to throw it out there, guys. And that is, you know, because we're supposed to live so much longer, we're supposed to anyway, if you've been kind of, you know, if you're both lucky as well as really, quite frankly, you've been working it in terms of, you know, your own health.
Yep.
But as you get older, you know, let's just say, I don't believe specifically in, retirement and then you just go off, you know, onto a pasture somewhere and just sort of feed on grass until you drop dead one day. You know, golf grass usually. I like the whole issue of refirement, which is the word I love to use, which is, you know, when someone is kind of going through 55, age 60, 65, I just see brand new opportunities. And I think a lot of people get real paralyzed at that point. Like, oh my gosh, I've only been doing X for all these years. What do I do now? You know, when something has ended, say, for instance, how do you counsel someone in that particular age bracket? Let's say 55 to 65.
I mean, I think it's very true. I think there are often times in which you're in your life, especially in that age bracket, where it is maybe time for something new. And despite having done something very particular sometimes for a very long time, but oftentimes having spent that much time in the workplace, you have so many skills you can leverage. And there are so many ways to pivot. It's really thinking about the ways in which would be beneficial and would feel like they're more meaningful to you in this moment in your life. I mean, I have to totally be very honest, which is that it is a very difficult time to pivot in the workplace. There is a lot of really active discrimination, especially for women. I find it more for women than for men, but I'm sure men experience it too, but I experience it very much for women over 50. And you really have to think about sort of leveraging your networks, really being thoughtful about how you're going to make the pivot, because the world is kind of biased over a certain age, and it really does prolong your process. I also think it's a really lovely time to consider potentially entrepreneurship and crafting your own path and thinking about what opportunities you could create for yourself. I think it's a really lovely moment in time where that's also really possible.
Interesting. So why is it so much tougher for women? You said that right off the bat. You said, well, you know, women over 50. What's going on with that?
I mean, I think it's my experience of it is that it's pretty active, like age discrimination and gender and age. There's this real, it takes longer. In my practice, women over 50, it takes them longer to pivot than it does women in other age brackets. And what's interesting about it, for me at least, is that they often get the interviews, they often get the moment in the door, but usually they have trouble once they're in the door sort of convincing someone that they're going to be there for a long time, that people make assumptions, either they're too experienced or, you know, they're not going to fit to the culture, or all these discriminatory ideas about these women that are completely capable of really making an enormous contribution to an organization. And so I think that's why it's so important to really have a strong network and other people around you that can help you pivot more easily, because you do need it, because the cold applications can increase, you know, just coldly applying to a place can really increase the bias that's there once you walk through the door and they know you're not 35, you know.
Yeah. You know, something, you know, this is a topic for, I did a podcast with Ashton Applewhite, who is one of the top activists about ageism in this country. And, you know, that's a whole different conversation, but women really get nailed with that for a lot of reasons. And so I think it's so terribly important. So when a woman is transitioning in her career, right? What do you think are the critical elements for a successful transition?
I mean, I think that a couple things. One is like getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. So I think in transitions, there's a lot of discomfort, and it's just a normal part for the course experience. And kind of being uncomfortable is a good thing. It means you're trying new things, you're experimenting, you're outside of your comfort zone. And I do think it's really important to kind of know that that's just part of the process. You're not going to be in a comfortable place a lot of the time. Which is why you're going to also probably have to do things in your life that make you comfortable generally, so that when you do the uncomfortable things, it's not like your whole life feels very uncomfortable. I think it's really important to stick to a plan and schedule executing tasks in your transition, because they're uncomfortable. You don't want to do them, and you want to like skip them and ignore it for today. But it's really important to kind of like schedule things in the calendar that get executed and done. I think it's also really important to be really good at taking feedback and learning to integrate it in your process, because you're going to be potentially out there and talking to people and doing informationals and all kinds of things like that. And people are going to be giving you comments and suggestions and thoughts, and integrating the feedback can be helpful, especially from experienced professionals, about how to make that pivot or what you may want to change or do differently. And it can be really hard when you're feeling vulnerable and making a transition. I also think it's so important to have really good self-care strategies, like, because it's hard to pivot. And it's so important to kind of really know what you need in your life in terms of structure and self-care to make sure that you're just going to be as strong as you possibly can. You have as much gas in your tank to make the pivot. Because the pivot is really lovely and joyous when you make it, but the process can be, it can be wonderful, but it can also be difficult at times.
So this career transition platform that you've just described, right? So how does this meld in with other transitions in a woman's life?
That's a great question. I think one of the things that I'm really big on, and I really believe is really important, is really learning how to transition. It's a skill, like learning how to be in a new place in your life, whether it's a new identity or there's a new job or there's a new career professional identity. It's really important to kind of learn the skills of transitioning. And I think oftentimes those things do coincide with major life changes. You know, so, you know, maybe you're, you know, having your first kid and you're realizing your current job just really doesn't allow you to have balance in your life, and so you have to pivot. It's really hard to be transitioning to new motherhood and at the same time thinking about a career shift or a job shift. But oftentimes the skills that you're using to make those transitions are transferable and can be used in both arenas. And you just have to realize you already may have some of the skills you need, but you just have to think about them in a different context.
You know, I so applaud what you're saying, because I'm in complete agreement. And of course, as a physician, what I'm really also arguing, and I know you touched on it, so I know you integrated beautifully into your own foundation for how you coach, and that is health. You know, if you're not getting enough sleep, if you're not eating well, if you're not getting enough physical activity, how in the heck can you possibly optimize your own performance and productivity? How can you come off well, glowing and, you know, filled with energy and ready to rock and roll in any transition in life? You know, whether you're showing up with a new boss who's 20 years your junior or whatever the situation may be. I think it's just so terribly important. And yet it's the first thing that gets blown off, don't you think? Or have you found that in your own practice?
I fully agree with that, because I think that, you know, one of the things that I experience oftentimes when I ask my clients, my female clients in particular, I ask them, what do you do for self-care? And they look at me like I'm talking in a foreign language that they don't understand. They just are like, what do you mean self-care? I'm just barely getting through the day. And I think that these practices and rituals are so important. They're so important for us to engage in about taking good care of our health, taking good care of our mental health, and teaching our children, and especially I have an affinity for teaching our young girls, but also our young boys and all of about how to really take good care of yourself. Like, we really don't get taught these things, but they're so integral to being able to transition, to being able to cope with hardship, all of these things that are so fundamental. But yet we miss that lesson. Our parents don't teach us. We don't get taught in school. We miss this opportunity to really learn how to be a really good caretaker of ourselves.
Huh. All right. So, you know, let's just say my wonderful audience out there in the Herb podcast land is loving this, and they're listening to this and they're saying, huh, okay, I'm buying it. I love what you say. Love your voice. Love your coaching style. All of this is good. So what are some simple steps that a woman can take now to really start the whole process for themselves? Because a lot of women probably say, well, I'll just stay stuck where I am because I'm terrified about taking that first step. I have to put myself out there. I've got to make some big changes. And, you know, it seems a bit onerous and overwhelming. How would you suggest they actually start the process?
I think, like, you know, clearly all, like, big leaps happen with these tiny baby steps. And I think that what's really important is that if you're thinking about transitioning, start by carving out some time each week in your life, even if it's only like half an hour you're going to dedicate to this process, and that time becomes untouchable. Like, you can't change it for something else. You can't, like, you know, cancel it because, you know, the day got busy. This becomes untouchable time. And over time, you want to expand that half an hour to more and more time. I think you want to figure out, like, what, if some people actually know what they want to do, and it's really then figuring out how then do I go about taking the next baby steps forward. And I often suggest, like, some of those baby steps are begun with people. So they're begun with, like, the idea of an informational interview, starting to talk to people who actually hold the jobs and careers that you want to do, and having conversations with them about, you know, I'm wanting to transition. What do you think? What do you suggest? How could I pivot? What are, you know, like, having these great dialogues with people who are already successful in the thing you want to do. If you don't know, I would strongly suggest career testing. It is one of the quickest ways to kind of get answers to what are some of the
possibilities. Well, how do you do that?
Remember I said in the beginning, there's no one career path usually for everyone. Usually you have multiple options. So you want some often career testing that can help you get a sense of what are the
potential. Well, how do you do career testing?
So you can see a career coach. That's one of the ways. There are also sometimes free resources. I think New York State has, I'm in New York State, but New York State has a free resource where you can take some career testing for free online. It's often better, my suggestion, I mean, clearly I'm a career coach, so I like to kind of go over it with somebody who's experienced and understands the testing, and just, it's not just answers, and that can help you interpret what's going on. I also have a platform called the People Career Solution for Women, and it's one of the places where people can actually do career testing there. So it's possible to do that there, but there are also other options to do it. There are all these kinds of options. Also, sometimes in your college, if you went to college, there are free resources at your alumni services to take career testing. So there may be all kinds of options to do it. But it's helpful in kind of beginning to nail down what are some of the potential possibilities moving forward, which can be hard if you don't have a clue and you're just like, oh my God, there's so many options.
So what if someone wants to work with you remotely? Would they be able to do that? Would they call your office and say, hey, can we Skype it out?
I do have on my platform. So I have like this kind of like platform for women who want to make career transitions. And on that, they can work with me remotely. So it's like a group of us, and there's testing, and we kind of go over some of the fundamental principles and kind of meet weekly on a call and discuss the issues that are at hand for everyone's transition. So that's one of the places you can do that. But also, too, there's also the National Career Development. If you want to meet someone in person, there's a National Career Development Association, and they have a list of recommended people there, and you can look by your zip code, and it's right on their homepage.
Very cool. You know, I'm really curious. Why did you get into this one particular aspect of psychology?
Well, I'm a counseling psychologist, and one of the expertise of counseling psychologists is career. It's one of the ways we split from clinical psychology is that we were working in VAs, and there were quite a lot of vocational rehab, and so that's how one of the ways that counseling psychology split from clinical. But actually, to be honest, when I took my career classes and career externships and did all my training, I hated career. I thought it was so boring. I thought testing was so boring. But my husband, who actually loved career, taught me that the professional is personal and the personal is professional. And he was very interested in career. His dissertation was on career. So he got me really reconnected to the idea of how important career is to identity. And my love has always been identity. And so once he connected me to that, I sort of became totally enlivened. I didn't think I'd end up pursuing this in my practice in different areas. But actually, it was a very critical moment in my own life that changed everything, which was that I was kind of career lost myself. And I had this job that really wasn't relevant to my own pathway and just kind of had accidentally fallen into it. And I had a really awful boss. And that awful boss, you know, was just really very inhumane and unpleasant and really made me feel like I was worth nothing. And it was really awful, an awful experience. And I was sitting in a senior staff meeting and we were listening to music before the meeting started. And one of the, it was an all women senior staff, and someone asked, "Where is this music coming from? And or what is this music?" And he said, "It's music to soothe the savage breast." And when
what?
I heard those words, I was like, "I need to get the hell out of here."
Oh my God!
Yeah, yep. And in that moment, I actually sat through the meeting. I went to my office. I closed the door. I called my husband at his job, and I was like, "I'm quitting." And he said, "Quit." He's like, "I've been telling you to quit." And so I cleared out my office that weekend. I turned in the key. I came to the office the next on Monday. I gave him my keys. I quit in that moment. He was furious. He threatened to ruin my career. So it was a very dramatic moment, which I wouldn't advise to many people, but it helped me then to figure out what I wanted to do, because then I had no job for the first time in a really long time in my life. I always had jobs. And my husband said, "Take the time to figure it out, what you want to do, where you want to go. And in the meanwhile, can you start our practice?" Because he had just graduated. We both graduated. And I said, "Okay, I'll do it." And because he was working full time. So I started to put together the practice. And the first clients came for me. And he said, "Can we keep a career component of our practice?" And I did. And I loved the work. And it just felt so alive and so concrete. And I felt like I could help people very directly. And I just felt like through my own struggle, I could help people become free of their struggles. And it's just the meaning and the mission of my practice, which is like that I am here to free as many women as I can possibly free from their own struggles and to get them to realize they are amazing and they can do amazing things in the world. And so that's really how it all started.
This is specifically why I asked you the question, because, you know, so many wonderful professional careers like the one you have sprung up from this kind of a crazy situation because it was a real wake-up call. It was an epiphany.
Yep.
It's like, whoa, wait a minute now.
Yeah.
Let's just all take a breath. This is not the place for me. This is toxic. This is poisonous.
Yeah.
This is all bad, and I have to get the heck out of here. And then from that, you know, you close one door and 13 others open. And,
yep.
You know, lo and behold,
exactly what happened.
Yeah. And then, you know, your husband turns out to be a A+ support system. And oh, boy, what a resource to be able to,
yeah.
You know, brand this whole thing out and enhance it. So, you know, together, you guys got a fabulous situation going on. And I really wanted to make sure that everyone out there in the Herb podcast land really understands that there are professionals like you who are career transition experts. Who
yep.
can really sit down with you and help you figure out what a strategy might be. And I'm sorry, but ever since you mentioned that thing about the amoeba, I can't get it out of my head. Thank you. Thanks a lot, by the way. But it's so true. It is so true,
yeah.
You know, and I'm sort of, you know, in my own way, living proof of that. I mean, I've done multimedia, television, and I've got my radio thing, all the, who knew?
Yep.
when I was an undergraduate at Berkeley as I was pre-med. Who the heck knows? But I've been very fortunate because I'm exquisitely adaptable. I just move and sway and I'm flexible with all the great things in life. To me, quite frankly, it's an adventure. I never really approached anything like, you know, I'm going to wait for my 50-year gold watch, you know, at the same company.
Yep.
You know, that doesn't work anymore. And I know you as a professional are probably dealing also with a lot of millennials who no longer believe and espouse that. And, you know, you're happy to keep them for a year because they really don't have that sense of attachment and bonding the way their parents, grandparents did. It's a new world now. So I know that you as a professional have to look at all the generational divides and belief systems and kind of, you know, work within each one of those because they're not all the same, right?
Nope. No, they are very, very different. And I think it's very interesting too, because I think what you just said about adaptability is such an important message. Like, if I could do anything for my clients, teaching them adaptability is the goal. Because that skill alone is going to take you so far. It's going to take you where you could never imagine you might go, but it's a skill. And so I think it's so important, to have that. And I think what's nice, you know, oftentimes the millennials get like criticized for what they do. And yes, every generation needs to work on some things, but their adaptability and their ability to shift and change and sort of look for the things that make them feel satisfied in their lives is something that we taught them. And we gave them, you know, sort of the ability to do that through the generations. Like, they didn't come up with this randomly. Like, we've sort of given them the freedom to do that through other generations' work. And so I think it's really important to kind of see if we could also learn something from that too, is sort of there, you know, that we could get some more flexibility and sort of adaptability and not be so concerned that, you know, these things that happen in our career become life ending. Like, there's so much opportunity in them sometimes that we miss, especially as Gen Xers or baby boomers, that we miss, that we want to hold on to. But there's value in each generation's perspective too. What's kind of fun for me when I do a lot of executive coaching is I get to see that. I get to see multiple generations work in an organization together and really try to help my executives really see the value in different perspectives and different generations' attitude toward work and leadership and management. So that kind of super fun.
Well, I love, you know, as a closing point, the whole issue of adaptability. I'm glad you picked up on that one, you know, from what I said, because I'm like a crazy person about that. I always go back to the Darwinian quote, you know, it's not the strongest who survive, it's not the smartest who survive. It's those who can adapt who survive. And you know, that's really the essence of survival, which is stress resilience. How resilient are you? Everyone out there, we've been talking to Dr. Lisa Orbe Austin. Her wonderful website, oh boy, is, go ahead and tell them, what's the best website?
My website is dynamictransitionsllp.com.
Okay, you heard it, Dynamic Transition LLP.com. And, you know, learn more about her wonderful work, especially the gender-specific career transition testing, which is incredibly important. And I'm just glad you know that we do have resources out there. And I cannot thank you enough, Dr. Orbe Austin, for being on the Her Podcast.
It's truly been my pleasure. It's been such a joy.
Awesome. And listen, everyone out there, this has really been informative. I hope you can breathe a collective sigh of relief. Yeah, we got help out there with these transitions. So right now, take a moment to hit iTunes, rate and review this show. This was a wonderful show. So I want to hear your feedback. Come on, I'm waiting to hear from you. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today, and stay well.